Well, glory to God. Man, I tell you, I feel the presence of the Lord in this building. If we just left right now, we could say that, you know, the Lord's blessed us and we're in His presence, and just being in the presence of God is fullness of joy. I know that's not for everybody, but how many brought some oil with you tonight? Would you hold your oil up right now if you brought oil? Hold your oil up right now in Jesus' name and all over the building. Get ready. I'll give you an instruction here in a few minutes about your oil, and we're going to do something with that tonight, and we're going to bless it. And God said, I'm going to put a 2 Chronicles 2020 blessing and anointing on all the oil that's been brought into the house of God tonight. Believe ye the Lord, and so shall you be established. Believe ye his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And God's going to touch your oil, and you're going to use that oil as long as it lasts. That everything you anoint and every situation that calls for the oil, and God will tell you, this is the oil. This is time for the oil. You get the oil, and you anoint it with oil in Jesus' name. And the miracle power of God will flow and follow through with that oil. Also, how many brought photos or list of names of people on paper that you want to see God do something? Will you hold that up? If you have a photo or a list with the names of your family members that you brought tonight, wave them unto the Lord, lift them up, wave them unto God. All right, God bless you. Get ready, and later in the service, we're going to do something with those pictures. And I want to say to those that wasn't here this morning, I just want you to know that this has nothing to do with any kind of ESP or mind power or all of this kind of stuff. I know that the dark powers of hell uses photographs sometimes to put curses on people. And we're not doing that. We're not into that. Nothing to do with that. But it's a way for us to bring more than just a thought of somebody that we want to see touched by God into the service, into the building. And you'll understand it better when we get through preaching tonight, why you brought the photograph, or why God has you do things that you do, and why giving in an offering is so powerful and so important. And you'll understand it better after the service. So I just want to let you know right now that that has nothing to do with anything with the darkness of demons and witchcraft. And they may use things, similar things. Might try to get something of a person to put a curse on that person. That's not what we're doing. We're not putting curses on nobody. And we're using the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you in the scripture tonight why we brought the photos, why we're bringing paper with the names of our families on it, why the Bible talks about using oil and anointing people and sick people and checkbooks and purses and cars and lawnmowers, and I mean just anything you could think of that you can anoint with oil and have faith and believe God, and God can bless it. When God blesses something, it works. Okay, let's look in the Word of God tonight to Acts chapter 19, and I'm going to read a verse 19 and 12. And matter of fact, I'm going to start in verse 10, 11, and 12. Acts 19, 10, 11, and 12. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, that the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. And this was something that the people had never seen quite on this wise, where the apostles started taking cloths and parts of his garment and handkerchiefs and things and aprons and things of that nature, and start taking them and giving them to people. And you know, the devil surely probably told some of that crowd, boy, he really thinks highly of himself. But that wasn't what it was. He thought so highly of God that even the clothes he was wearing was being anointed by God. It was so powerful. And I know you've been around that kind of anointing where it just lingers and it stays and it never leaves. Let me remind you before you're seated that Jesus showed up at the mother-in-law's house of Peter, and she was healed in that house. And according to the historians of the Jewish nation, that for years and years, people would come to that house and be healed in that house over and over and over again. When the apostles wasn't even there, when Jesus had ascended and was gone, and yet the place where the miracle happened was so powerful that it was absorbed into the walls and the floors and the location of that house. Jesus said that Jerusalem, the city, would be so blessed, and that flowing out of the city of Jerusalem would go so many miracles that would happen in that city because of the events that take place. You don't think that just this week in these services that the praise and the glory of God has not anointed and affected the dimensions around this church? You don't think this last year and the year before and the year before and the year before and the year before has not added to the anointing of God in this building? I don't know it for a fact, but I can guarantee you they consecrated this ground. They dedicated the cement. They dedicated the walls. They dedicated all the 2x6s. I mean, they consecrated this place. And the Lord claimed it, and it belongs to him. The devil can't do anything with this ground. It's so soaked and saturated with the power and the prophetic word of God that if this church was caught up and out of here, demons would have problems getting on this site because of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let's lift our hands to the Lord for 1 minute. And let's believe our God. Will you give him praise? Open your mouth and don't let somebody else praise for you. Will you open your mouth and praise your God right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I got a prophetic word right now. God just gave me a word. The enemy that you've been fighting, you will see his face no more. Somebody shout unto God right now and believe the report of God. Be looking for that fulfillment of that word. You may be seated in Jesus' name. God, a few weeks ago, I don't know how many weeks it's been now, but you know, God starts talking to me, and he'll ask me questions, and he doesn't give me answers. He just starts asking questions, and he gets my mind into a thought pattern that starts weeks before he speaks revelation to me. And he asked me one time, he said, "What is greater, a man that has the gift of God in his life and can walk in any building, no matter where it's at, and not be dependent on everybody's faith, but have the gift of God in him, and he can just minister and he can pray for people and get answers and he can hear from God? Or a man that can teach the revelation of those gifts, and those revelations will be given to people, and the people will be used by God?" Well, I thought about it for a couple of minutes, and I said, "Well, Lord, it's got to be people receiving revelation. That a man could so teach it that they could get it." And then the next day I was praying, and I got to thinking about it, and I said, "Well, how many times have I entrusted a church to do something and they never did it? And I had to do it myself. How many times have I waited on a congregation in a service to step up so that the miracles could happen. But they refused. They wouldn't do it. And so I changed my mind. I said, God, no. A man that is consecrated, dedicated, he's ready. He's not going to halter. He's not going to falter. He's going to walk in that building and he's going to start operating. I said, be the man that had the gift of God. Then the next day I got to thinking again and I changed it. And for 2 weeks, I would go from a man that has the gifts of God and operating in the gift to being able to teach the gift to others and have impartation in their life. And so finally I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. He said, the answer is wisdom. Wisdom says that God will give you both. And that you don't have to have one. You can have both of them. And the Lord said, I wanted to get you to see the way I see. I gave you a choice. But I wanted you to look beyond just what I said into the revelation. And then he said to me, I'll give you power to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. I'll give you power to demonstrate the supernatural. I'll give you power of faith. No matter where you're at, no matter what church you're in, no matter what night of the week it is, no matter how many's in the service, no matter who sings or doesn't sing, no matter who plays or doesn't play, no matter who gives or doesn't give, I'm going to give you that power. But I'm also going to give you the power to release into churches and into people and into ministry the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Get ready tonight. God is going to release into everyone. You're going to take a new step into a new dimension. Are you ready for it? God wants you to step into it. It's not going to make, God doesn't make people do anything. Some people get the idea when they get the Holy Ghost, you know, that God's going to grab their mouth and make them speak in tongues. And it's not the way it works. It's you and God working together. God's not just going to come down, just heal you without your help and your faith and your belief. There are three great faiths in every service. There's God's faith, there's my faith, and there's your faith. And when all three of those faith gets to working together at the same time, it's so overwhelming and so powerful. When you finally realize you don't have to wait for a feeling, when you finally realize you don't have to wait for someone to knock you in the head, when you finally realize you don't have to wait to be called out, when you finally realize it's everlasting, it's with you every place you go, it doesn't matter if you're in the valley or on the mountains, that the God you serve is the God of the valley and he's the God of the mountain. Sometimes God delivers you from the lion's den, and sometimes God delivers you through the lion's den. But it doesn't matter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that revelation. If God delivers us, then praise the Lord. But if he chooses not to deliver us from the fiery furnace, oh King, we want you to know we will not bow, we will not bend, we will not surrender, we will not be defeated. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And without asking you, can you respond to God while the Holy Ghost is moving? God will not drag you along. Amen. I was praying one day and the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm going to bless you and I've been blessed and I'm going to bless you. And he said, you're going to go in the power of my Spirit and not be discouraged or despondent. He said, you will not spend over 30 minutes wrestling with any situation or any problem. And he said, you may feel despair for 30 minutes, but it won't last no longer than 30 minutes. And you will master your emotions and master your feelings. And I mean, it was just so amazing as God began to bring that to pass in my life. And I'd get bad news or sad news or this or disappointment or whatever it was. And I, no matter how hard I tried, I could not worry about it. I couldn't shed tears about it. I couldn't get frustrated about it because God just kept showing up. I said, God, why are you doing this? He said, because what you make happen for others, I make happen for you.
and you've been out seeing the people get delivered and seeing depression leave and oppression, and my people have been getting miracles and you've been helping doing it, there is a new level for you. And that new level is not you just waiting for a miracle, but it's you dispersing miracles, dispersing power, you walking in the Holy Ghost. God answers your prayers, takes care of your battles while you're out working, helping, praying for somebody else. I'm going to tell you this. This is what God spoke to me one day. He said, your miracle will come through the door of somebody else's miracle. In other words, when your kids need a miracle and you prayed and looks like nothing's happened, find somebody else's kids and help them get a miracle from God. When your kids are misunderstood, when the devil is tricking and deceiving and coming against your family, find a family that's in the same situation. Call them up. Go by and pray for their kids. Go by and lift them up. Tell somebody in this church that's fighting a long illness that God's not going to fail you. God's coming through for you. And your miracle will come through the door of somebody else's miracle. This is what the church, this is the next great revelation for God's church in the last days, that when you do something, God does something. When you help somebody, God helps you. When you lift your hands and lift God up, God lifts you up. God's going to especially touch people that are under the attack in your psyche, in your emotions, and in your mind. There's several people here, God's showing me several people that are battling things in your emotions. And your emotions need healing. Just like anything else can get hurt and injured and needs a healing, your emotions can get injured and hurt. And God just whispered to me, I'm going to heal those that are in this service, that their psyche, their emotion, their nerves are frayed and wore out. And I'm going to heal them in this service before the altar service is given. They're going to get touched by me and they're going to walk out of here and find out that they don't need all that prescription anymore. That I, the Lord God, the God of soundness of mind, I'm going to touch them in this service. Somebody say praise the Lord. Touch two people and say, I believe what the man of God just said. Touch two people. I believe what the man of God just said. In Acts 19, God reveals. Acts 19, verse 12, God reveals the revelation of a place, thing, an appointment, a point of contact with God. When God began to show me the power of the point of contact, I saw it everywhere. In other words, when you get to a place, a point of contact that God creates, it begins to loose your faith. And it looses your faith because a point of contact helps you focus on God. Number two, it creates a God timing. Number three, it creates acts of faith. Things that you do that takes faith to do it. Number four, it defines a happening, a place, something that takes place. And the reason you need that is so many times when you get the Holy Ghost, you get in your car and the devil says you didn't get it. You get healed, you get in your car and the devil says it's still there. Now, almost everybody I've ever talked to has gotten the Holy Ghost, and before they could get home, they wondered if they really had it. And I've met so many people that get healed. Some get completely healed, and the devil starts trying to talk them out of it. And I've met so many people that come back and told me the symptoms left. And they got in their car, and the next day or that night, the devil said, you didn't get healed. You're still sick. You're going to feel it. It's coming back. and talk them right back into the sickness. In one revival, I prayed a man through the Holy Ghost five times. The first night, he was down at the altar, and I went down there, and I started praying. I said, you need the Holy Ghost. You're here for the Holy Ghost, and you've repented of your sins, and you've been baptized, and you're ready for the Holy Ghost. I said, get ready. God said, you're getting the Holy Ghost. I laid hands in Jesus' name. And he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And I said, you just got the Holy Ghost. And I went over to pray for somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. And somebody came by there and knelt down beside him and started saying, if you believe, you can have the Holy Ghost. And that person started thinking, well, I thought I already had it. But this person says, get ready. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. I want you to start believing. And talk them out of the Holy Ghost. So the next night, the altars are filled with people that need the Holy Ghost. We prayed for people. Miracles happened. Then we said, everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Come to the altar. He came back down to the altar. And while everybody was praying, I leaned up to his ear and I said, what are you doing down here for the Holy Ghost? He said, I'm not sure I've got the Holy Ghost. I said, you got it last night, man. I'm not sure I got it. And I prayed with him again and several prayed and he spoke in tongues. And then the next night, altar call, he was back at the altar. And that happened five times. And the fifth time he came down, I said, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I forbid you to come to the altar at the altar call. You've already got the Holy Ghost. And I couldn't believe I ever would ever tell somebody that you cannot come. And when I gave the altar call, I stared at him the whole time. And with my eyes, I was saying, don't get up and don't come up here. You already have the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? And of course, because you get the Holy Ghost, don't mean you got everything figured out. I remember the first bicycle I ever had. I didn't even know how to ride a bicycle. My dad bought me a bicycle. And I couldn't ride it. I got on it. I fell down and I couldn't stay up. I couldn't balance myself. Then I got to where I could run with it, jump on it. And I couldn't stay paddling and I fell off again. And I fell several times. And the one day I got to pedaling the bicycle and I kept going and I couldn't stop. I didn't know how to stop and I didn't want to fall again. And so I kept riding and riding and riding and I'd ride by my house and I'd tell my brother, help. And then I'd ride back again. My dad, help. And they thought I was kidding. And my mother said, boy, that Gordon has got a lot of energy, man. He just doesn't look at him. There he goes again. Now, I'm not saying you'll know everything about it, but when God gives you the Holy Ghost, you've got the Holy Ghost, and that's a point of contact. And so here's the apostle, and all of a sudden, I mean, can you, look, some of you wasn't here. I don't know if I even should say it. I don't want people, because by the time I hear about it 3 months from now, I jerk a shirt off somebody. Because people exaggerate things. So if you hear that, oh, Brother Winslow was in revival and just jerked a guy naked. Just grabbed his shirt and jerked it off his body. Know that I did not do that. But I took the end of the shirt tail of somebody last night, cut it off, anointed it in Jesus' name, and declared that God had anointed that cloth. To keep that cloth, that's an anointed cloth of God. And I said, and the enemy is not going to be able to sneak up on you no more. That angels have grabbed hold of your shirt tail. And that you're marked by God by the cutting of your shirt tail. And every time you put that shirt on, you're going to feel the anointing and the revelation of what your earthly eye cannot see. But your spirit eye can see it and you can feel it. So if somebody said, oh, that brother was, we heard it. He jerked a man naked. I mean, the next thing you know, it'll be I jerked the shirt off. Then I jerked his britches off. I mean, you know, oh my God, that ungodly evangelist had a man run around in the church in his chonies. You know what I'm saying? I know it's funny, but it's the truth. How the devil can exaggerate and lie on you. I love it when the devil does me like that, because I know he has to make something up. He cannot find anything on his own. He's got to make a lie. You ought to shout when the devil lies on you. It means he can't find anything to... Oh my God, I wish somebody knew. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. The only ones I worry about in this church are the ones the devil's not messing with. Because he doesn't mess with people he's already got messed up. If he ever gets you messed up, he's going to leave you like that. And so if you don't feel the presence, you don't feel motivated, the devil's not trying to bug you and bother you. Do something to make him bother you. Because it lets you know you've got something that he doesn't possess. If you're in a battle, it means you're not defeated. If you were defeated, you wouldn't be in a battle. That went over like a toilet paper frog in a pond. I'm telling you right now, you can just, I know that the enemy doesn't have me because of the struggles I walk through. Because every time I start praying for people, I have to battle through spirits and battle through dominions to get to the miraculous and the supernatural. The energy that's exerted is not doing the will of God. It's the battling through the spirits and the dimensions that don't want to see the supernatural. If I was the devil, I would get all of my imps at this church. I wouldn't worry about the first church of the Frigidaire, pastored by Dr. Popsicle. They're not going to hurt anybody. They're not going to dent the kingdom of the enemy. But I'd gather up, and what we need to do is spank demons and spank devils and let them know you come around this church, you're going to get a booty whooping. Sometimes you need to run the aisles, not because everybody's doing it, but just let the devil know at any moment, at any time, at any situation, I make a point of contact with my God. It doesn't have to always be the music. It doesn't have to always be the gifts of the Spirit. It doesn't always have to be the preacher. Yeah, that boy there is working on his miracle. That boy right there running is working on the miracle of healing in his legs and his feet. He no more got out of this service than the devil tried to jump on him and try to keep him from getting his miracle. You know how I know you're going to get your miracle? Because the devil jumped on you before you could get out of this building hardly. The devil so believes in the word of God. He so believes in the prophetic word over you. He so believes in this church. He so believes in the miracle of God in your life that he sends every imp of hell to come against you. Yeah. And I've learned no matter what, to give God the praise. No matter what. I was on my property killing ants. And I was, you know, I had my sprayer, and the ants had got a big mound up around my air conditioner unit on the outside of my house. And I was in my golf cart going around my property, several acres, and I'm spraying these ants, and the grandkids saw me. They ran and jumped on the golf cart, and we were having a good time. And so I'd get out of the golf cart, and I'd take the key out, and then I'd put it back in. So I just told all the grandkids, I said, look, we're going to kill ants. You can ride all you want to. It's fun. We're going to kill ants. And I said, but I'm going to leave the key in there, and don't push the accelerator. And I may repeat it. I don't know how many times. I said, everybody together, we will not push the accelerator. And they said it over and over again. And I mean, the first time I told them that, and the first time I left the key on, I step out, and I'm spraying the ant bed mound around my air conditioner, and here comes the golf cart, squoosh, and hits the air conditioner, knocks it off the foundation. And the sad thing is it's still, I mean, it's the air conditioner is up against the house and the golf cart's up against the air conditioner unit, and the tires are spinning because they're still got their foot down. And I'm not kidding you, man. I just told them. And I turn and I look at them. And so instead, I just lifted my hands to the air. And I said it like this. Run. Did you hear me? Run to grandma. Now. And I just said, oh, thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. And they took off running. They went inside and they ran inside. And Sister Winslow said, what's going on? I said, Grandpa's praising God, but he's praising him different. But at least I got my hands up and got to praising God and didn't let the enemy win that battle. Every battle you win gets easier and easier. And there's less demons showing up because they know no matter what they do or what they say, that is a child of faith. That is a person that knows about the point of contact. The Bible says our God can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. There is a contact point with God. The Bible said the woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just get through that crowd and reach up and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She didn't realize it, but she was operating at the point of contact. And she reached up and touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. And the Bible said she was instantly healed. The children of Israel march around Jericho. Nothing happens to the point of contact. And God forbid them to shout until that seventh time on that seventh day. 7 times 7 is 49. At the 50th year was the year of Jubilee. And so after 7 times on the seventh day, they shouted unto God, and that was a point of contact, and the walls came down. If you don't start thinking in the revelation of the handkerchief and the apron and the point of contact, you'll miss 75% of the miracles of God, because God operates at a place and a point of contact that he asked you to step out in faith, that he asked you to do something, and that's a point of contact. The woman is in a famine in the book of Kings, and she's going to die. And the man of God comes walking up and says to her, make me a little cake out of your barrel. I don't have very much meal in there. He said, well, make me a little cake. And she reaches in there. It's a point of contact. And she reaches in there, and she gets out just a little bit to make the smallest kind of cake. And she makes him some cornbread, and he eats it. And she goes and looks in the barrel, and there's meal in the barrel. And she makes something to eat, and she goes back, and there's meal in the barrel, 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 and there's meal in the barrel. God gave her a point of contact. A point of contact is where your faith goes into action. A point of contact is where your mind is made aware that you did something God asked you to do. An act of obedience eradicates 100 past acts of disobedience. A point of contact. Naaman, I'm going to heal you. But you go down to the Jordan and you dunk 7 times and you'll be healed. Point of contact. He could not go to another river. He couldn't go down to Old Joe's Creek. Or there's a place in Louisiana called Possum Hollow. There's a creek called Possum Creek runs through there. Now, I don't know how many possums live there now, but there had to be one day a lot of possums living there for people to say one day, that's Possum Hollow. And that creek is Possum Creek. And there's a Pentecostal church there, and it's called Possum Creek. Apostolic Church. Isn't that glorious? Where do you go? I go down to the Possum Church. Huh? I don't guess there's much pride over there, is it? I'm down at the old Possum Church, down by Possum Creek. And so there are points of contact. When God asks you to give something, He's got a harvest on His mind about you. When God speaks for you to give something, it's not, He really doesn't have what you're giving on His mind. He's really got a harvest for you on His mind. And so He creates a point of contact. I mean, God's used many things as points of contact for me. God's done miracles because I bought somebody a meal. I walked in a restaurant and God said, buy that person a meal. And I bought him a meal. And it became a point of miracles and contact. I was in Walmart and walking through there and buying a few little things. And there was a lady in the automotive area. And I heard with my ear in a little distance there, and I heard her say, oh, I didn't bring my billfold. And so she said, let me call my son. And so she called and called and no answer and said, I have no answer. And the Lord nudged me and said, pay for her stuff. I said, God, what has she got over there? If you're in the automotive, it could be a lot of stuff. I mean, it could really be a lot of money. And the Lord wouldn't answer me. And so I, by faith, I just step up and I go, I'm going to pay for her stuff. And the lady just backs off and looks at me like I'm green and I'm from Mars. And she said, why in the world would you pay this stuff? I said, before I answer that, I turned to the guy and said, how much is it? $300 and something. This better be a big point of contact right here, hallelujah. But I want you to know, I left that place and at church, a man walked up and gave me $1,000. And you know what he told me? He said, God told me you did something by faith today and I was supposed to reward you with $1,000. And I said, that's right. I think I'm supposed to give this to you. That's right. I believe you, I'll be blessed. That's right. And I said, when you do this for me, guess what God's going to say? He's going to touch somebody and somebody's going to do something for you. There's nothing impossible with God. God uses points of contact. When the man of God says, everybody get up, grab someone by the hand, that's a point of contact. Now, I'm a manly man, and I don't mind holding hands with a man under 5 minutes. But after I'm holding over 5 minutes, I don't want him to think we're getting engaged. Because I'm a manly man. And so I want to remind the preacher, hey, hey, us men are holding hands. And it's been 10 minutes. And I don't do. You know, like I do, I don't. And but it's a point of contact. If you could just start realizing the voice of God creates a place for you to activate your faith. He creates a place for the harvest to be birthed. He creates a situation so that there can be a birthing of a supernatural miracle in your life. I walk in a church and God says, give $2,005 to this evangelist. And I give this evangelist $2,005. I come home from my revival 3 or 4 days later and I've got a check for $2,005 on my dresser. And I start rejoicing and praising God and the Lord says, all I gave you back was what you gave. He said, that's not your harvest. He said, I want you to start thinking harvest, not seed. And he said, you're getting all your bills paid for, all your cars gonna be paid for. This was in April, which is a great month, right? Right? How many were born in April? Come on, yeehaw, huh? Tell somebody, great people born in the month of April, hallelujah. Yeah, it's a great month. And every April of my life, great things happen. I'm not kidding. I see some of the greatest miracles in the month of April. But it's also the birthing of a new season every year. And so I gave that, and God said, well, by Christmas, you're going to be completely out of debt. And I was. I need $3,125. I had an uncle too. You've mentioned an uncle. I had an uncle. And I owed him $3,125. His name was Sam. Did you get it? Did you get it?
Yeah, those dirty guys.
She says, those dirty guys. Blood suckers. Like I had a cop tell me one time, said, leave justice in the hands of the police. I said, you're too slow. I'm dead by the time you get here. And isn't that the truth? We're supposed to wait for the police. By then you're choke. Your money's gone. Huh? It's got to be, in the name of Jesus, you low down dirty skunk. You have no power. I've done that. Had a man pull a knife on me, gonna rob me. I said, in Jesus' name. And I want you to know, I wasn't playing around either. When he pulled that big knife out, I said, my God, this is for real. I rebuke you, you demon, you devil. You can't cut me. And he took off running. I said, well, hallelujah. Whew, thank God that worked. That couldn't be one of those, I'm going to do this miracle in 72 hours. That had to be a right now miracle. Points of contact. It's going on all around us. And we've got to start recognizing it. God told me you're going to start recognizing it after tonight. That's a point of contact. God's got a harvest on his mind concerning me. We get zeroed in. So anyway, so I owe $3,125 to my uncle. And Sister Winslow called to tell me what the CPA said. And she said, well, we don't have that in the bank. I said, we never have it. When do we ever have? You know, it's always got to be miracle. And I need to change my name, Gordon Miracle Winslow. Because everything's got to be a miracle. And I said, don't worry about it. God's got it. She said, okay, I'm not going to worry. I said, no, don't worry, no more. I said, I'm going to worry, not you. I'll do all the worrying. I worried 5 minutes, and I gave it to God. I get in church that night. God tells me, give $100 to somebody. I give it. The next night, he says, give another $100. I give it. The third night, I said, I don't have $100. He walks up and gives me $100. God said, you know what to do. And so 3 nights in a row, I give $100. And I have to admit that I needed my own preaching, because I started reminding God that I no longer needed $3,125, but I said, add three to that, because I'm three in the hole now. But I had enough sense to keep my mouth shut. So I walk out after that last night, giving that third hundred, and I should have had harvest on my mind. I should have recognized it's a point of contact. Just like when you lay hands on someone, it's a point of contact. Remember in the Bible when Jairus said, just come down and lay your hand on my daughter and she shall live. Point of contact. One with the issue of blood. If I just touch the hem of his garment, point of contact. But we're in bad shape, because we got so many people walking in this church that don't want to touch nobody and don't want nobody to touch them. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll get a miracle from God, you're going to have to learn the point of contact. You're going to have to learn your miracle will come through the door of somebody else's miracle. that what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. When you let go what's in your hand, God lets go what's in His hand. When what you have is not enough, it must be seed and not a harvest. And it's meant to be sowed, not contained or retained. It's meant to let it go. Did you know that all of your praise is not for your benefit? All of your praise is seed. Every bit of it. So if you only praise God when you get happy and excited, you've got it all backwards. I'm going to praise when I feel great. No, the praise is a seed that you sow and you give and you release and you let it go. Fasting is a point of contact. Prayer is a point of contact. The Word of God, a point of contact. So I walk out of the building and it's just a country church, but it's a big church though, about 500 people. I don't even know where they live. Where they came from, there was a bayou around the church, and some actually came to church in boats. Skeeters that big, huge, Louisiana, blood suckers. I mean, they suck the blood of everything, so they're huge. What kind of bird is that? Oh, that's just one of our normal mosquitoes around here. I'm not kidding you. Huge old mosquitoes, that big. Just come down, just want to pick you up, haul you off. Stuff like that. You don't mess around. And it's a country church, and there's a lot of people there, but there's a country people. And so I should have known God had a harvest on His mind. I should have known God had a miracle on His mind. Well, I can't praise God. My heart's broken. But God says, praise me, because He's got a miracle on His mind. Can you get that? Can you get to thinking like, will you try your best, start thinking like that from now on out? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Some bad things are going on. Oh, glory to God. Well, what are you praising God for? Something great is just about to happen. Oh, you can't preach. Hallelujah. I know I can now. I mean, I believe everything opposite what the devil says. If the devil says something, I just start shouting because I know it's the opposite. When he says you can't, you know you can. When he says it won't, you know it will. That's just the way he operates. So I'm walking out of there and the Lord's talking to me and I start kind of dropping hints. You know, I'm down 300. And I said to my, I'm really mean this. I said to myself, no, you preach to others. You yourself must also believe like everybody else. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me another 100, I'll give it away. But I don't have any to give, but if you, like this third time. And this guy walks up to me about 19 years old, beat up old truck. I'll never forget what the truck looked like. Beat up a rusty looking truck. He walks up to me, Brother Winslow. Yes. Does 3,125 mean anything to you? I went, yeah, it does. He said, well, all during this service, God's been speaking that number to me. And he said, and I believe it's money. I said, amen. Amen. You're walking in the will of God. Right now. I said, it's not suckers or popsicles. It's El Mula. I said, that's the Lord right there. He said, I got it right here in my pocket. And I think I'm supposed to give it to you. And I said, whoosh. I said, well, let's go to your pastor and tell him because, you know, I want the pastor to know, you know, what you did. I said, I'm assured the pastor will not take it from me. He said, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, don't you go to church here? He said, no, I don't go to church here. He said, I work in the oil field. And he said, I'm on my way to go to work. And I drive by this church. I work in the Gulf. And he said, I come by this church and I just feel all of a sudden drawn to, And I said, do you have the Holy Ghost? I don't even have the Holy Ghost. He said, but I just felt drawn to come to this service. And all the time you're up there preaching, that number's going over and over and over in my mind. And he said, I finally realized the Lord wants me to give this preacher an offering. And he said, so I wrote the check out by faith. And I asked that because I was going to see if that was God or not. And he said, don't worry, the check is good. I've got this beat up old truck because I drive to work. It's got a brand new motor tranny in it. But I drive this old truck to work and park it on the out there by the Gulf. And he said, the salt water and the people. And he said, I just drive, but it's good. I've got money. I'm young, but I work hard. That was a point of contact. From this day forward, saith the Lord, I will speak to you by revelation, and I will guide you through your acts of obedience, and I will take you to the most fertile fields where the greatest harvest is. I will speak to you in seed, but I will give you revelation of harvest. I will bless you out of your circumstance. I will bless you out of your poverty. I will bless you out of your lack of faith. And you will start seeing harvest. You won't think seed. You'll start thinking harvest. For I, the Lord, am giving you the anointing of the point of contact from this day forward. Everybody lift your hands and for 1 minute give your God the praise. If nothing else happens tonight, that right there has put you in a different dimension than you've ever been in before. Come on, pour it on for 1 minute. Come on, musicians. Come on, press in. This is seed. This is seed right now. This is not your harvest. This is seed right now. Right over that young lady right there is the anointing of the Holy Ghost over her right now. I just saw it. And God said to tell you, sister, right here, God told to tell you, step out here real quick. God said to tell you, I am anointing you tonight in this service. And that battle of depression that you've been battling the last few weeks and months is leaving tonight right now. There's been a demonic attack against you and your house and your family. And God said it is leaving right now. And I'm giving you the upper ground, the high ground, and I'm giving you new authority in the supernatural. And you're going to walk in the point of contact. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, that's the Holy Ghost. God said, run, run. Oh, I wish somebody over here would get.